from the Carter Subaru Studios, this is the G and Ursula Show with G. Scott and Ursula Voitin.
It is the G and Ursula Show. We're thriving on a Thursday, and we're looking forward to our topic at 11:33, Ursula.
Yes, I was driving home yesterday, and I heard a voice on the John and Sherry show, and it was a woman. It was one of our listeners, Marguerite from Lacey, who was talking about her addiction and her road to recovery and what it took to finally kick her cocaine and crack habit, and what she believes is the answer for so many people who are struggling, what resources are available. And given the number of times that we bring up drug addiction and our homelessness crisis and what can we do when there's such a shortage of beds, I felt it was so compelling to hear her tell her story in her own words. So I wanted to share that with some of our listeners this morning.
All right. We do that
at 11:30.
11:33. You guys got to hang out and listen to that. But right now, it is Agree to Disagree, brought to you by Guardian Roofing and Gutters.
One of these days, we just got to take off the gloves. Just really go at it.
Well, Seattle is conducting an informal poll of business owners in the nightlife industry about whether they're interested in staying open past 2 o'clock a.m. How would they feel about serving booze until 3 or 4 or even 24 hours a day? G. Scott, 2 o'clock a.m. has been a pretty hard cutoff time in this area for a very, very long time. Do we need to revisit that or keep it the same?
Keep it the same. And my younger self is really mad at today's self for even saying that, because for years I was all about to, come on, let's make things open later. Is that really what we want, though? We already are struggling. We have a national problem when it comes to law enforcement and the deficit that we are seeing in all of the cities across the country. Well, let's talk about here in Seattle and Tacoma and all those places. Right now, we're already seeing a deficit of police officers. Do we really need to be open after 2 o'clock in the morning with still selling of alcohol? You got that going on. You have you would increase. There would be more of an increase of crime downtown Seattle. We are already trying to get Seattle back, get it back to pre-pandemic. We know what we've been going through since the pandemic. It has gotten so much better. But to add that little wrinkle in there, to be open to like 4 or 5 in the morning. No, you don't want that.
Okay, I'm going to appeal to the younger G and the younger Ursula, because you remember when you wouldn't even start getting ready to go out until 10 or 11 at night?
Yep.
And then it's midnight, 1 a.m., the dancing's just getting good. And, you know, even then, I didn't drink, so yeah. It wasn't about the drinking. Mm-hmm. But just out there having a good time. And then suddenly, 2 o'clock, lights go back on. And everyone's, like, scurrying away. Okay, don't look at me with these bright lights.
Yeah.
But, yes, it was... I appreciate places where you can go, like when I travel... Okay, this was especially me in my younger years, but I appreciate places when you can go and when you travel, and there is something to do even after 2 o'clock in the morning. And it doesn't have to be about drinking and drugging and everything bad. I'm looking at it with rose-colored glasses, but I'm just saying that I think there could be something appealing. Yeah. Regarding, leaving the, or just pushing it back at least. Because I think there's some people who are just getting going.
Let's talk to young G and young Ursula. And here's a question for them. And maybe you could do your best to answer this. What, and by the way, I'm stealing this from my dad. My dad really used to give this to me. What good happens out in the streets between 12 a.m. and 6 a.m.?
You're actually correct. April just texted in.
No.
Nothing good happens after 2 a.m. I would at least get 2 a.m.
What good happens after 2 a.m.? What?
What different happens after 2 a.m. as opposed to before 2 a.m.?
Stop it, chef.
No, I'm not going to stop it, and here's why. Because this has been tried. There are a number of places where this happens. New Orleans, it's open late. Las Vegas, it's open late. You know what happens to crime when they move the bar hours back? You get more crime at 3 a.m. and 4 a.m. You know what happens to the crime at 2 a.m. and 1 a.m.? It moves from 1 a.m. to 3 a.m. and from 2 a.m. to 4 a.m. You simply get a shift in time when, like, the bar fights happen or the drunk drivers happen. The problem with closing times, period, is any closing time drives people to pound their alcohol as quickly as possible so that they can enjoy it before they're booted out of the bar. Now, as someone who worked in the service industry, and I think this would honestly impact service industry workers the most, because if you're working in a bar or a restaurant and you close up shop at, you know, midnight, you finish up cleaning, you get done at one. This is a very, very common thing. You rush out to the bar down the street and everyone pounds 3-4 shots and a couple drinks as quickly as they can. All this will do is allow bars to make more revenue, people to stay out longer, and we'll see a shift in crime patterns move forward a couple hours. It's not going to impact the morning commute any more than a 2 a.m. closing call would be. I don't think it does anything good for society. I also don't think it does anything bad for society. I think it's kind of a wash.
You know, a chef that drives me nuts? It'd be taking you a long time to get to where you got. And I'm going to tell you.
I'm alone in that?
Yes, you're alone in this. Yes, you're alone on this.
No.
Because here's the difference.
I refer to the current witness.
The difference is this. When we're younger and we're wanting the places to stay open past 2 a.m., that ain't for anybody else but us. When we're younger, we're more selfish. Now that we're older, we're actually thinking about others. And Ursula, I'm going to throw it to you now. I'm going to throw it to you. It's simple. Downtown Seattle, open past 2 o'clock to 5 a.m. Are you telling me that that's what's best for Seattle?
See, at this stage of my life...
Oh.
At this stage of, if I'm speaking for myself, would that mean anything different for what I would do right now? No, because I generally would not be going to downtown.
Neither would I.
At 3 a.m.
But don't you
now,
care about
the
Seattle.
Days when I used to go? Yes, I do. Yes, I do. So I think for some, it would benefit. For others, not. But right now, I think there are way bigger fish to fry for downtown Seattle. I think that the things that John Scholes, the CEO of the Downtown Seattle Association, just brought up, including continuing to fight crime, and I don't think that this would help in that vein.
Look, let's save lives, ladies and gentlemen. I'm all for the decrease. We talk about this. We want a decrease going forward. And the way Chef is talking, and it took him 30 minutes to get to it, he wants an increase.
Maybe 30 seconds.
Yeah.
I'm sorry for having to provide some context and some words.
All right.
How about this, G? Real quick. SeaTac's the best airport in the nation, according to Global Airline Survey Skytrax.
Yeah, that's wrong.
Is that quick enough for you?
That's wrong.
Okay.
What's my man named? Cooper?
Perry Cooper.
Perry Cooper.
Yeah. Who does a fantastic job as the PIO
Absolutely.
For SeaTac Airport.
Based on the context of this conversation, I'll get an email.
Hold on. Why did y'all have to put all of that disclaimer in before I said, y'all don't trust me?
Because you said that guy Cooper. Do you think most of our listeners know who that guy Cooper is?
No, you guys added my man Perry Cooper. Perry Cooper, who does a fantastic job, who's really nice. And y'all ain't got to give all them adjectives in there. I got it. Now, Perry Cooper. You do a good job. Maybe why don't you come on the show? And I can tell you why SeaTac Airport is not the second best airport in America. And I'm going to give you two simple reasons. One, man, y'all bathrooms can't even compete with some of the other restrooms across the country with other airports. San Francisco and them. New Orleans is better. So I'm going to say the bathrooms. And two, I'm sorry. Restaurants. I'm going to say that the restaurant selection is not up there. I'm more excited when I go to other airports. Now, outside of those two things, which those two things I do care about, Ursula. Outside of those two things, sure. SeaTac is cool.
Okay. SeaTac Airport is not the second best. And according to this survey, it's actually the best airport in North America for the second year in a row.
Oh,
so
y'all really ain't number one, Perry Cooper.
Okay, so But the criteria used, chef, was what? Based on what?
Based on.
Okay, so they point to quality of life improvements, the upgrade SEA suite of projects underway over the next 5 years. Those are a couple of the things that were cited, which don't seem to be current to me, because moving baggage claim downstairs, or I'm sorry, moving a gate downstairs, the TSA line downstairs and some of the improvements they have planned don't address the fact that we see lines snaking out to the garage.
Correct.
They do 5 years from now, but this is the second year in a row it's been the best airport. And during that time, what have we seen? Absolutely awful backups at SeaTac.
Yes, which they're trying to address, and which is why we're talking also about siting a new airport to deal with the growth that we're seeing and the fact that SeaTac is already or going to be at capacity. I think SeaTac is a great airport, but I have loved other airports much better. And one of my issues with SeaTac is, yeah, there's always some kind of construction going on. And then there's sometimes where I feel like, where's the good food? We've got so much good food.
Thank you, Ursula.
In this region.
Thank you.
And not only am I paying, I feel, outrageous prices, which is not unique to SeaTac, but I just keep feeling like, where's the good food?
Yeah. And another thing that bothers me, Ursula, here's another one. This is big. And I watch how many people text on this point alone right here. The best coffee inside of SeaTac Airport is Starbucks. We live in Seattle, y'all. Y'all know we got some good coffee spots. You mean to tell me I'm going to go into the airport? Man, you got to give the people what they want.
If you and I are wrong on the good food, I want our listeners to tell us, where is the best food at SeaTac Airport? Wow. Where have you found the best food at SeaTac Airport? Okay, text us. 888-973-5476. Triple
8973 a lot.
I was kind of ticked off that Ivers went away.
Okay. Once you make it to the airport, by the way, you're officially a corporate restaurant. I don't think there's a lot of small, independent, local coffee shops that would be clamoring for SeaTac fame.
Incorrect. They actually,
you disagree.
They actually brought in, that was one of the reasons when they changed up the restaurants, they tried to bring in more local restaurants. So
I don't
maybe
care.
We're missing
once,
it.
Once you make it to SeaTac, you make it to T-Mobile Park, you make it to Lumen Field, you're no longer a small local restaurant. You have 5 outlets. You are approaching chain status. That is the way it works, period. And once you get to that point, you're rarely a good establishment anymore. You're usually watered down. The food is not as good. You're hiring, what, like Sodexo employees from the airport?
I will say that Din Tai Fung tastes a lot different when you're at the ballpark.
A lot different.
Now, so I want to get this straight. SeaTac Airport's number one. We talked about food. And you asked the text line to text in a food place. There's not one text that has come in yet.
Well, they're starting. 206 said Alaska Lounge.
So G. Scott can go there. Alaska Gold MVP.
I was trying not to go there.
Skillet. SeaTac.
It's cool.
Someone says.
It's all right. It's cool. Vicky in Anacortes is mad at me. What the heck is going on with G today? Too hopped up, too judgmental. He called out Matt on his story about rental deposits, and I'm starting to think he actually has a problem with Chef. That's not cool.
Okay, tread lightly, because I know Vicky, and I will be seeing her at a family barbecue this summer. Vicky is what we call a very loyal listener. Thank you, Vicky.
We love you, Vicky. We love you, Perry.
See, but by the way, that's par for the course. Anytime I'm into it with somebody else, Ursula always takes the other person's side. Yeah, always takes the other person's side. Literally, no matter who it is, if it's me and somebody else, literally, Ursula will take the other side.
I've seen this happen.
When
you guys get into it, she takes her side every single time.
No. She takes the other person's side. All right, what we got next, Chef?
11:30.
Oh,
what do we have coming up?
Are we getting? Oh, I thought you had another.
Well, we're trying not to get out 4 minutes late because we're gonna have a really good conversation next with one of our favorite listeners.
All right, we got one of our listeners. She did an interview on with John and Sherry yesterday on the show. Ursula loved it so much she wants to bring it back so that you, the listener, can hear it all. We do all of that next. Gene Ursula.
See? That's what happens when we just throw out names.
What happened?
We got a message from our friend Perry Cooper at SeaTac Airport. And I say, we're going to do some show planning right now. I say we invite him on the show tomorrow.
Yeah,
because he said he would be happy to talk about SeaTac Airport and the great things about SeaTac Airport and some clarifications because Chef said something about chain restaurants and you were going on about... And I was saying, where are the great restaurants? And so we'll give Perry a chance to explain why SeaTac was named best airport in the country.
I got to tell you.
2 years in a row.
I got to tell you. I actually got more love for SCA now than I did before. The fact that Perry Cooper was listening.
Yeah, he said he hasn't heard his name mentioned so often in the last few minutes. I think other people's ears were burning.
Let's get him on the show.
I still refuse to call it SEA.
SCA.
SCTAC.
You see that, Coop?
I'm old school.
No, I don't even know if I can call him Coop yet, but it's Perry Cooper. Okay, go ahead. What you got?
Okay, well, I was listening to the John and Sherry show yesterday, and I heard a very compelling interview, and it turned out they were speaking with one of our regular listeners, Marguerite from Lacey, who had written a letter to them about her long battle with her drug addiction. And here she reads part of it.
My mom died 8 months into my addiction. 3 months later, my son was sexually assaulted. 4 months after that, my daughter was attacked by one of my dealers. A few days later, my kids went into foster care for the first time. And none of that got me clean. I even went to jail for the first time ever. It wasn't until the day I was supposed to go to treatment. And my dad told me that if I didn't go, I'd be dead to him. Being daddy's little girl my entire life, that was it. That was my rock bottom. That was September 30th, 2005. I have been clean since October 1st, 2005. Everyone's rock bottom is different. When my dad died in 2011, he told me how proud he was of me and that he was comfortable dying knowing that I would never go back to that crap. Again, I pray for those that haven't figured it out yet. Thanks for letting me share part of my story.
And it turned out that crack cocaine was her drug of choice. And Marguerite says it when she started using, it really ruined her life pretty quickly.
I only used for 2 years, but it took me down hard and fast. And I said with my mouth, "Ooh, I'm not going to use anymore. I'm going to get clean. I want to go to treatment." And it was all a bunch of more halfway baloney because the next time the dealer showed up or a friend showed up, we got loaded. I got clean from the time I ran out of dope until
the next time she could get it. I mean, it was so raw. And she described, again, what happened when she hit rock bottom. And she was so desperate when she called her dad for help. And he did give her one last chance, but also showed tough love.
It was a phone call. I actually had gotten pulled over the week prior to that date and got about $1,000 worth of tickets because my license was expired, tabs were expired, no insurance, blah, blah, blah. And I thought I had court at the Lakewood Courthouse, which at the time was on 96 and Steele. I'd show up there, no court. I called my dad going, "Dad, I screwed up. I went to the wrong courthouse. I'm not going to be able to meet you when we said we were going to meet. I have to take the bus downtown Tacoma to the courthouse." And he goes, "Fine, I'll meet you. But I'll tell you this. If you don't go, you're dead to me." That was all it took. I took my butt to the courthouse. I met my dad back at my apartment in Lakewood, packed my bags, and went to treatment that day.
So, gee, she said she was able to get help through the Pierce County Alliance. They were able to get her into a bed in a treatment center. She pointed out that 28 days, which is often what the stay is for a drug treatment, apparently, she said, is not nearly enough. I mean, it just was, at that point, she was just starting to get sober and, you know, getting back into reality. And during the interview, Sherry asked her whether she agrees with what's happening here in Washington and the decriminalization of drugs.
I wholeheartedly disagree with that because we're doing everybody a disservice. I mean, the society seems to want to make everybody dependent on everybody else. And It makes me angry to see what's going on, to drive down the street and I can see people just blatantly using drugs on any street, under any tree on the side of the freeway. And it makes me literally sick to my stomach, Sherry, because this is what my grandchildren now have to grow up and see.
At the same time, she also said that if a user or an addict wants to change, it really needs to come from them.
I know for a fact that if somebody doesn't want it in their heart and in their head, it's not going to work. I watched that happen with one of my sisters and one of my brothers and numerous other family members, because addiction and alcoholism run very strong in my family.
And I wanted to share this as someone who is a sibling of someone who struggled with drugs for decades. And I mean, I'm talking about my oldest brother, and then he ultimately took his own life. When I hear people who've struggled with addiction and are able to get out of it, I want to celebrate that. And you know that Marguerite texts in to our show as well. And, you know, her struggles are not over, not nearly enough. But to be able to share her story so openly, I just appreciated it.
Yeah. So we only have a couple minutes, and I'll just start off with this. One, everybody's journey to sobriety is different. It's not cookie cutter. Everybody, somebody's listening right now, and you're probably celebrating sobriety. How you got there is different. How Marguerite got there, she had her father say, "You're no longer going to be daddy's little girl." She said that did something to her. Some people don't have a father to say those things. But I'd say this. The number one, there's all different ways to sobriety, but the number one way, is love and compassion that someone else might have for you. So this idea that, oh, we are in a society where some people need help. Hey, ladies and gentlemen, everyone at some point needs help. I know I did, and I got the help. I'm not here today without the help. And it didn't come through tough love. It came through love and compassion of Rob Sims, who brought me into his home. And guess what I've been able to do in the process? I've been able to help so many people because of the help that one person had for me. Everybody's road to sobriety is different. I think this is a beautiful story, and I'm glad Marguerite is sober. That's beautiful. I love that. More stories need to be told like that.
Yeah.
I said yesterday, those closest to the pain, closest to the solution.
So true.
Good stuff. Perry Cooper really was listening.
No, he wasn't listening, but others were, and now he wants to come on the show, and we will have him on the show tomorrow.
Yes! Have we ever had him on the show?
Yes.
I ain't never talked to him.
Yes, we have. When we need to do it more often, clearly.
Yeah, we do. I'm going to ask him about the cell phone lot. Yo, what's up with that cell phone lot, Coop? All right, coming up next on the Gene Ursula Show, your text messages, your feedback. Then we have Ursula's words to live by. Gene Ursula. is the G and Ursula Show. I got to tell you, I'm going to be starstruck tomorrow. Tomorrow's Fresh Fridays, and I just found out we're going to have a guest, possibly, on the show.
We've invited him.
We invite him?
Yes.
Invite him to the party?
Yes.
He's got to come.
Yes, exactly. And yes, we're talking about you, Perry Cooper. You know, we've made, just on this show alone, Perry Cooper a household name.
We sure did. Yeah. I just want to know, would it be professional of me to ask him if I can call him Coop going forward?
You already did call him Coop during the show today, so you'll need to do it retroactively.
When have you ever need permission to give someone a nickname?
That would be another good point.
What do you mean, chef?
That's not my birth certificate. What are you talking about?
Long live Mark. Still wants to know what he did to deserve it.
It's to the point where you call him Long Live Mark when you ain't around him.
I know.
Has your sons ever said it to him?
No. That hasn't gone that far.
That'll be the day.
Yeah, nope.
All right, what's up? Text messages.
Okay, so will the workers please come back downtown? Downtown Seattle specifically, to help out the economy. Destiny in Seattle says, my husband got laid off yesterday. He was a work-from-homer. My Pike Place business is losing money downtown. Daycare costs $32,000 a year. So painful transition. Yeah, I don't know what we're going to do. Oh, Destiny, I'm so sorry.
Sorry about that, Destiny. Sandy in Covington says, you are on point, Chef. Everybody always loves Chef. Don't blame downtown problems on work-from-home employees. Even when I went into the office, I hardly spent any money. It's not fair to put all the pressure on work-from-home employees.
Mark D. in Lake Stephen says, too much unwanted office space and not enough housing. Reimagine a more residential downtown.
Oh, okay. Florida man released after 3 decades for a crime he didn't commit. His sentence, 400 years. 360 says, I was the assistant manager at a local bank when a would-be robber came in and tried to rob us. I testified against the getaway driver. It's been 10 years and he was recently released. But 400 years? Even with all the anxiety I suffered after the incident and after testifying and even after the driver was released 10 years later, I would never wish 400 years on him, and he was guilty. Gosh, what a terrible miscarriage of justice.
On security deposits, Greg in Vegas says, my brother and I took a Northgate apartment to small claims court. They refused to return a $60 mailbox key deposit because they accused us of dumping a couch in the dumpster. We won 3 times that amount. The judge said you cannot keep a deposit for something for which the deposit was not given.
Oh. What's the best restaurant at SEA Airport? 206 says Communion inside the new American Express Lounge.
And I wonder why I never heard of Communion. Need
they
to
got
go to
secret
that American Express Lounge.
I never knew about this.
253 said Nordstrom Cafe. 360 said Beecher's.
They get that American Express Lounge.
Oh, boy.
253 says Nordstrom Cafe.
Yeah.
Should bars stay open past 2 a.m.? James in the 425 says, I've lived in places with a 4 a.m. closing time, and it doesn't seem to cause major problems.
360 says, we have a national problem with alcohol and drug abuse, but yeah, let's enable people to purchase alcohol even more hours in the day. That is a hard no.
Come on, I agree. Janet says, gee, I totally agree. No need to serve alcohol after 2 a.m. Let them stay open and not serve. However, I'd really love it if any bar in Sammamish stayed open after 9. Yo, when I lived in Sammamish, everything closes at 9 o'clock.
How'd you like that?
I mean,
you got a lot of quiet time.
It was real quiet in Sammamish.
Reunited.
I hung out at Trader Joe's all the time in the cheese section.
Scenarios. My mom watches my child on the weekends. Every weekend. My deadbeat ex calls me a bad mom. Stacy from Puyallup says, maybe dad needs to step up and take the kid on the weekend.
All right, Ursula, it's time for Words to Live By, brought to you by Wilcox Farms.
And this is a quote from Denzel Washington, because I was thinking about people who do a lot of good in the community, and you are one of them, G. At the end, it's not about what you have or even what you've accomplished. It's about who you've lifted up, who you've made better. It's about what you have given back.
Ah, I like that one. Thanks, Ursula.
Thank you.
Yeah, that's tight.
I hope you feel better.
I know.
You really sound sick.
I mean,
you sound like you're congested. But you sound like what I do when I start feeling like I'm going downhill.
Was I less spicy today, though?
No, you were more spicy.
You kept the fire going.
Nick, what you got, bro?
Cutting technology is the future of our times. Don't like facing that reality? You've got a tough hill to climb, because gone are the days of the old Windows 98. As for dial-up and AOL, you're a few decades too late. Now let's talk of the town is GPT and AI, with a few drones flying out of place in the sky. And I'm all for the change. I think the future looks bright. I'm not what Chef would call an old crusty tech Luddite.
Very well done. But I can't leave without saying something right now, Ursula. Can I just tell you that Weird Science was one of my favorite movies?
I believe it.
Kelly LeBrock.
I thought you'd cringe at this song. You're like, ah, Weird Science. You love it, huh?
Weird Science? Chef, you ever seen Weird Science, bro?
Of course.
Oh, how old were you? 15?
Oh, no. When I first saw Weird Science?
Yeah.
Probably 10, 11?
Okay, yeah. I think a lot of people love Weird Science.
Oh, man.
For the same reason.
I mean, the technology.
Yes, exactly.
It was definitely the technology.
On point.
Yeah. Ursula, good show today, my friend.
It was great.
Fresh Fridays tomorrow.
Feel better.
I appreciate it. Chef, thank you for cooking up a good show. And let the people know that we do get along. They was really scared.
No, I'll pass.
Okay.
Maybe tomorrow.
Thank you, Nick. I appreciate you.
Hey,
Jack Stein and Spike O'Neill, they come up next in the afternoon show. We appreciate you for listening. Love you for that. And as always, be kind.
Hope you have as much fun as we have. So long, everybody.